Hello, you're listening to the Making Tracks podcast, a podcast about songwriting, production and the music industry, brought to you by Access Music Production CIC in collaboration with the Glasshouse International Centre for Music. Hello and welcome to the Making Tracks podcast. This podcast is the first in a series where we're going to be interviewing people who work in the Northeast music industry about how they use music technology in their music making. So I'm here today with Holly.
Hiya.
And with Frankie.
Hello.
And I'm Lisa. And we three together, we are the music leaders who deliver on the Making Tracks program. So first, we want to tell you a bit about the Making Tracks program and how it came about.
So Making Tracks is a songwriting and music production course delivered by AMP, which is Access Music Production CIC, in partnership with Sage Gated.
It's funded by Youth Music Charity. It runs for 16 to 25 year olds and it's like a 10-week rolling program. We have two groups, so we've got introductory and intermediate. There's a progression path from introductory onto intermediate, and we run it from blank studios and production rooms.
Yeah, so I think that's a good point to pick up on, actually, that it's delivered in industry. So it's delivered in professional recording studios by professional musicians and music producers. So that's kind of a new initiative from Sage Gateshead, where they've partnered with AMP, with Access Music Production, and used their youth music funding to develop this new program together. So that was part of our approach, wasn't it, really, that we had this thought that we wanted to make an industry relevant course. So could you talk a bit more about that and why that's important?
Yeah, well, I think, so for the listeners who don't know, me and Lisa are part of AMP, Access Music Production, and our whole goal is to make music production more accessible. So when the Sage wanted to put on a songwriting and production course in industry settings, that was right up our street, wasn't it, Lisa?
Mm-hmm. I mean, the thing is about music education and about kind of using music technology, it can be a little bit daunting, you know. So depending on what background you're coming from, whether you're a performer or whether you've come in from a more technical angle already and you're not a performer but you're more looking at making music with a computer program, it still doesn't necessarily mean that you know what goes on beyond that, does it? If you see what I mean. So mm-hmm. For young people, their experience of making music might be at home in their bedroom with their laptop, or it might be as part of their school education. Mm-hmm. But what's beyond that, and how do you get a foot in the music industry? And it might be kind of interesting to bring Frankie in on this, and in terms of like your work also as a performer. So, you know, what do you think about trying to get into the music industry, and what are the barriers?
Well, this is one of the things that I found the most like attractive about this program when I was reading about it, because for me, as a 24-year-old artist, I found it really daunting to get into music studios. I didn't really know how to go about it. And then when you got past how daunting it could be, there's like the financial barriers as well. So I think it's like a really special thing to be running this, where we can get anyone into the studio, get them comfortable in the environment and feeling confident with the like terminology and the equipment, talking to producers and basically communicating what they want with their music easier.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think as well, when you look at what music education is like in schools, there's a big gap in terms of tech. So I think this course really helps to try and fill that gap between, you know, you might be an amazing instrumentalist, but still have no idea about the tech, because that's where the gap is in education.
And also in music education as well, if you're following a syllabus, there's not always the opportunity sometimes to step outside and explore mm-hmm. the skills, look at how you can be creative with some of the technology because you're studying a particular pathway.
Yeah.
So, and different genres of music as well are not always touched upon in mainstream education. So I think building a program that get you practically into the spaces mm-hmm. and using the equipment that professionals use, and being able to be in front of somebody who actually works in that industry and ask them from their experience what they do and how they approach it is really valuable. So
yeah, definitely.
Those were kind of the core things we were thinking about when we partnered up with Sage Gateshead and talked about how we could, you know, build a program that helped people with music technology specifically,
yeah,
and how music technology was going to influence how they then made their music. So that's quite key as well, isn't it? It's not just about how does the tech work. It's like, how can you take these skills away and use them in your own environment or with your own equipment at home? So let's talk a little bit more specifically, because we've said it's taught in studios, it's taught by professionals, but what is taught? You know, what kind of thing, if you were on this program, what would be your experience? And is it the same all the time or does it vary?
So I think one of the best things about this course is how reactive it is to the participants. So depending on the group that's in the current course, we'll tailor it to what they want to know and what they want to learn and what they want to get out of it.
Yeah, so we always ask what the young people want to get from it, and then we'll build the lesson plans around that. So it can be anything from like learning about microphones and vocal processing to doing songwriting sessions and working on lyrics, and then working on how to use music technology in your songwriting to get creative and add new layers and arrangements to your songs that you mightn't have done before.
So what kind of things have come out of the sessions? Because I suppose I've got some like kind of nice stories that have come out of the groups that I've worked with, but kind of like to throw it out to you two first, you know, what kind of like interesting or creative things have come out of these sessions? Because if it's completely learner responsive, it could go in lots of directions, couldn't it? So, you know, do they end up from each session making a piece of music, or sometimes is it just making some noise, or you know, can you give us some examples?
I think both. I think sometimes it's just loads of noise, but that's good. I think making any kind of noise is good. And then other times we've made something where you go, wow, actually this is really cool. They should keep this going and release this. And I think what's really nice is when you get to actually step back and it's just the young people at the helm. They're sat in the big chair, they're making all the decisions, they're using all the tech, and I'm just there occasionally to be like, oh, here's an XLR.
Yeah, I think it's really nice to see, like, over the 10 weeks, both the young people learning all these new things, but also like collaborating together to make songs together. We've done things from like rapping and making like
I love that rap
tunes.
Yeah.
I love that. We've done like protest songwriting. Yeah, so it's really nice because you see the young people developing in two ways, one with their music skills, but two collaboratively with other musicians and peers. And
that's really important. I think that's a really important thing that's come out of the group, because as a young person making music, it can feel like a bit of a lonely world. If you're not in a band, mm-hmm. especially, if you are somebody who writes your own songs at home or you're dabbling with some music software or technology, it's really important to meet like-minded people, isn't it?
Definitely. I think one of the main questions that has come out of the groups is like, how do I meet band members? How do I meet people to produce with? And I think this is like the perfect opportunity to meet people who are making music that are your age.
Yeah, yeah. I think that network is just amazing, because you kind of think, even if you are just making your own stuff solo and you don't really want that collaboration in terms of songwriting, the collaboration that you have just in bouncing ideas off of people is so valuable. And I think that's something that's really cool about the Making Tracks and Making Tracks alumni. You know, after you've progressed through the course, you can stay in touch with all these people that you've met, and that's really valuable.
I think we've seen groups as well, like after the course has finished, like sharing each other's music. Some people have covered each other's music. Like, there's still a real support network there. Like, it's people in the industry and connections that you need to make. And it's basically there for you on a plate, really.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's so important in your, I mean, you can talk from probably examples from your career in music, how many times you've learned something from a peer, you know, how many times you've been in a room perhaps with another musician or a songwriter, or you've been in a room with a producer and they've said, have you thought about approaching it this way? And that's happened in those groups, hasn't it? You know, if you bring a group of young people together, they're naturally all going to have different backgrounds, different musical interests, and a certain different level of how they have either tried to use music technology before, or, you know, how they've successfully done some work with it. And we try and arrange the groups whereby it'll be beneficial to the skills level of that young person, but also the group will put them in so they can collaborate together and bounce ideas ideas of each other. So that's why we have a group that's for introductory, for people who are right at the beginning of their journey, to be able to start and feel comfortable to experiment in a small studio space, which is not too different from a kind of setup that they might have at home in terms of like a smaller amount of equipment.
I think production room is that perfect environment for the introductory group, because it, I'd say it's probably a little step up from what you might have in a little bedroom studio setup, but it's also not so far forward that it's like a really
overwhelming
is the right word.
I think as well, for introductory, it being really nice small groups means that you get a lot of time on the computer, you get a lot of time to ask questions, and it's just a really nice way to get you started if you might be maybe intimidated or scared.
I think you're right, intimidated or scared, I think, is like how some young people have described it to us, because when you think about a recording studio, most people automatically think about a very big space with a lot of equipment. Everything seems to be on, lots of flashing lights as if everything's being used all at once, screens, mixing desks and, you know, speakers. And like, that's sort of what you imagine, isn't it, when you think about a studio. But some people don't realise that you don't necessarily work with that type of equipment for all different settings. So when we introduce music technology to young people in the beginners group, we try and introduce it in a really accessible way where they could see how they could approach it at home or with equipment that they've got. So we show them how you can quite quickly sketch out ideas. What are the tools in the music software that you can use to quickly sketch out songwriting ideas or just make sounds? Or how do you very basically get sound in through a microphone from a guitar, etc., with a keyboard? How can you create sounds that you might not be able to create yourself because you don't play that instrument? So, you know, how could you program some drums or, you know, put in some strings or something just using a keyboard? So we try and make it really accessible and quickly hands-on so that everybody gets a go at that. And then when you step through to this intermediate stage, or some young people come straight in at intermediate stage if they feel that they're ready for that, we're able to talk about what does a bigger studio look like and what is all this equipment for. I mean, there's always those conversations at the beginning about like, have you been in an environment like this before, and do you know what any of this stuff does? And a lot of people are a bit overwhelmed, aren't they? And they go into blank just because there's a lot of equipment. And I always think that's quite interesting at the beginning, where people are like, oh, I don't know if I can touch this.
Yeah, I think that, and sometimes even just like the vocabulary and stuff, like it can be like, oh my god, this is a whole other world, like I don't know where to start. And I think making tracks just really simplifies it all. And I think music production is super accessible, like anyone can do it, and we're just making people see that you can and getting them involved.
That's perfect. Yeah, because it is, I think that's one of the coolest things about music tech, is that actually it makes music really accessible, because you can start making things with actually quite basic stuff, with basic knowledge. And what we do at Making Tracks is open the door to that basic knowledge, so you can just carry on your journey and become superstars.
We need to remove the barriers, absolutely, because you're talking about people coming on this course who already have musical ability, whether it's the writing lyrics, whether they're making music, whether they play an instrument. You know, we're trying to break down any barriers that gets them from where they are to the next stage of where they want to be. So I think our job is to try and demystify what goes on in these spaces. And also, further to that, our job is to demystify the music industry. Because it feels like there's a massive gap, doesn't there, from like when you think about when you were starting out to working now in the industry. And, you know, I work solely really on the production engineering side of things, but you both work as artists as well as people who work in studio environments and production as well. So you can see it from both angles when you work with the young people, you know, how they're coming into things. And it can be, doesn't it feel like it was a mass, it felt like it was going to be a massive step. And actually, once you find out how you move from A to B, you feel a lot better, don't you?
I think when I made the step from just a musician to music producer, it wasn't a step that I thought I would ever be able to take. I kind of in my head thought I'd need to go and get a whole degree, that I would need to go and get a new degree, maybe get a master's degree. Like, I was, had no idea really how that would work. And then you actually start doing it and you build up and you build up, and actually those steps, it's not one massive step, it's loads of little steps. And what's really nice about Making Tracks is we can start off with just one of those little steps and build it up.
Yeah, I think for me as well, I was like gigging and writing for years, but it was like probably a good 3 to 5 years before I actually was like, okay, I'll step into a studio. And then even then I was sort of really in the dark. I wasn't really in control of the music because I didn't know what was happening. Nothing was being explained to me. And then more recently, getting to know about music production more, I'm very much more like in control of my sound. And I know how to ask for things in the studio and how to explain myself. So my songs are more me now.
No, I think that's really fab. I'm just going to pick up what you just said about vocabulary, because I think that's really important. Because I think if you're a musician, and even if you don't necessarily want to go down and become a producer or mix your own work or anything like that, just being in those environments and learning those words and learning how to ask for what you want is so valuable. Because I think I had that before I started any kind of production. I'd get a mix back from a producer and not really know how to say what I wanted or what I wanted to change, or like I knew it wasn't what I wanted, but I didn't know how to say it. So I think that's one of the things that can be really useful in making tracks, is just, you know, demystifying all of that.
Yeah, I'd really, really encourage artists to apply, because as an artist, I can see how valuable it is to just be in the studio, get comfortable with it all, learn all the vocabulary, work with producers, talk to producers, even if you don't want to like produce a mix yourself as an artist. That aspect, along with the network and the collaborating, is just priceless, really.
Yeah, and I think some of the tasks we're able to cover in this course, because of the collection of different people in the room and their interests, means that we're able to cover a whole range of things that you might not necessarily, like Holly was just saying there, you might not necessarily go on to be a music producer, but because of the environment you've been placed in, because of this course, you've had the opportunity to, I don't know, maybe you're, let's give an example, maybe you're a songwriter who normally works with, say, acoustic guitar and vocals, but as part of this course, you've met people who play other instruments and you've had the opportunity to see how they're recorded or how they approach their songwriting from a different instrument point of view. So, you know, in a bigger studio environment, we're able to do things like talk about how the recording process would work if you're in a full band, or also break down how you would record a song if you were, I don't know, that example of a songwriter who play guitar and sang. How can you flesh out your song to be a full production? You know, so those are the types of topics we're able to cover. And by having this mix of people in the room who might play different instruments or might have different experiences with technology, they're able to contribute and perhaps change your approach. You know, so if you're a bit stuck, that's a thing, you know, if you're a little bit stuck with like, how am I going to come up with my next idea? Or I always approach it the same way. And then somebody else in the group says, well, actually, this is how I do it. That could spark a whole new journey for you as a songwriter, or as a musician, to be able to say, okay, I'm going to try it this way, or I'm going to collaborate with you. So it's about the people you meet and the tasks we're able to do in the studios. It's also about the technology that we're able to show you. Because technology is a barrier sometimes, isn't it? In terms of like cost, and in terms of it just looking complex.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that I really love about the, particularly the introductory groups, is that you can kind of, we get to share how you can do quite a lot with not very much, and how actually music tech can be accessible.
Yeah, so we've got like some different bits of gear that we let the groups use, so that they're, you know, they might have seen it before and thought, what does that do? Different MIDI controllers and different keyboards and guitars and things. And then when we move into the intermediate group, some of the equipment that is in the studio that we call outboard, which we can connect in and use as part of the recording, you might not always use it, or you might not get the opportunity to use it because it's a big expensive piece of equipment. How do you know if you want to, I don't know, use this piece of equipment in your music making if you're never going to get your hands on it? So let's talk about getting hands-on and how important that is, because I said we're the music leaders, but we try and be as hands-off practically as possible, which sounds a bit mad, doesn't it? So explain that.
I think it's just about building their confidence enough so they can just get on with it. I think like there is so much gatekeeping already in the industry, especially in the sort of production side of the industry. So I think just being able to be like, no, you're allowed to touch this. Just touch it. Just see it. Put a compressor on and make it really loud and see what it's like. Oh, is that no good? Okay, well, now you know we're pulling it back a bit. And I think that just being able to play, being able to experiment is half the battle.
Yeah, and I think we want to kind of step away from the sort of like school, university kind of thing where you might just be stood and have to watch someone else do it, and you go away and you're like, well, I've not actually learned much from that. Like in these sessions, you get to just get on there. And I think a lot of people learn from doing things practically and actually seeing and hearing it themselves, doing it themselves. So it's very much that, and just letting people experiment. And by the end of the sessions, I always think it's really nice because you see like people in the group asking other people in the group for advice and guidance. So like the leaders are like completely at the back and the young people are running the whole session and then helping each other problem solve and stuff, like we're almost not even needed by the end.
I love that. I love it. By the end of the 10 weeks where we just get to sit back and be like, look at them go. Yeah, that's the really best. Absolutely. It means you've done your job right. Yeah.
There's something about creating a safe environment, isn't there, for people to be able to be themselves, to be able to feel comfortable that they can ask questions, which is something that we're really passionate about, creating an environment where people feel that they can ask
anything at all. Yeah, no, there's stupid stupid
questions. exactly. That they are valued in the room, their opinion matters. Mm-hmm. And that we're not stopping people from having a go. You know, like you said before, we want to be like, please have a go. Please try. If you're comfortable to step up and you'd like to do this now, please do. Mm-hmm. It's a safe environment where it doesn't matter if you make a mistake, because in the group, they're all learning together. Definitely. And you've got somebody you can just ask any question that you wanted to ask. And we get some weird ones and we get some fun ones, you know. But
it keeps me on my toes.
Yeah, any question you want about production or working in the industry, you know, that is your time to be able to do it once a week in your 2-hour session with your group, you know, and for 10 weeks. By the end of that 10 weeks, you know, you see these groups really gel. Mm. They've got a network beyond that 10-week program. Mm-hmm. So that is also quite important, isn't it? Like, what happens beyond this? You've had this 10-week experience of, like, you know, you've been allowed in a studio and you've been able to use everything and make music and brought in bands and recorded them for some of the projects. And, you know, we've done all sorts of different things where you feel like you've really made a start. So what do we do beyond that 10-week program to still keep those young people on their journey?
So we're really passionate about there being like a Making Tracks alumni that we keep involved with things that are going on. So we've created like a series of masterclasses and workshops with industry professionals, not just musicians and producers, like radio presenters, managers, PR people, that kind of thing. And they'll be open to all Making Tracks applicants, past and present.
Yeah, it's really important, isn't it, to try and like further integrate them beyond the course so that they can stay on the journey, you know, progress into the music industry by making the contacts. So, you know, that's part of that program, isn't it, that we're hoping that we can introduce them to people who will help them to the next steps as well.
Yeah,
I think then keep that network alive. Like, one of the best things about Making Tracks is creating that network. So having these inter-industry talks that carry on and keep that network alive, I think, is really important.
Yeah, and I think helping with not just how to produce music, but how to then release the music that you've produced, like these masterclasses will be like vital for that. And I think that's another thing that needs demystified about the music industry.
Absolutely,
so
yeah.
Shining a light on that as well.
Absolutely. It's not just about how to get the music made, is it? It's about how to then get it out there. Yeah. So that's what we hope to cover in these sessions afterwards. And the great thing about Making Tracks is that it's been popular, hasn't it? Like, we thought there was a need for this from our practice outside of delivering this program. We know we've spoke to young people, we've had people approaching us about how can we learn more about this. So we saw a need, but it's just been really great to be able to see that people want to do this course, that they're applying to come through it, and we get a lot of applications, don't we? Which is great.
We're oversubscribed massively, which shows that there really is a need for it and a desire for it.
Yeah, I've not seen anything else in the Northeast that helps with production like this. I think a lot of people just learn from like themselves and YouTube and stuff, so this is a good way to like get that expert advice.
Yeah, and it's key to be able to then get these contacts in the industry, your peers, but also people who are working in the industry like ourselves, and people you meet through being part of the program and the workshops are now key contacts that you need to be able to further your career, aren't they? So if, as part of that, immersing yourself in the music industry and getting the contacts, this podcast will focus on interviewing some of those people who are working in the music industry and what their role is and how young people can work with them to progress their music careers. So as Frankie was saying before, managers and people working in the media, people working in radio, key contacts. And this podcast will explore their role. And also we're going to be talking to as well some of our Making Tracks participants, past and present, about their experiences with using music technology in their music making, what are the challenges that they've overcome, how this course has helped them, and how they intend to progress further with the skills that they've learned, you know, in their music career. So will they carry on with production, or will they make use of music technology in their writing and maybe even their performance?
So we're really excited to dive in on those interviews for the rest of the podcast series. This is it for now. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.